Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome back to Good Things Radio, episode 34 today. You can grab a hot cup of coffee, or if you're on the go, it's okay. We'll just do this together. We have a big show. Thank you so much for being part of Good Things Radio, and especially the time of year that it is. So much to talk about. I feel like if I squint, I can see Bethlehem from here. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to try to bring it in focus a little more. We have a special guest joining us on the show today. That's Lisa Hendy. She is a pioneer in the blog platform, one of the early Catholic mom bloggers. Her website is CatholicMom.com. She's the founder, the author of multiple books, including O Radiant Dawn, which was just staple for our family. It has been. It's 5-minute prayers around the Advent wreath, also the Grace of Yes, so much more from Lisa. So we're going to talk about her, and she'll also share a movie review. There's a new film out called The Letters, and it's all about Blessed Mother Teresa. She had an opportunity to screen this film. I know it's out now, but we have her review exclusive for Good Things Radio listeners, so she'll share that with us as well. We're also going to talk about the Jubilee Year of Mercy, and wow, where do you start? I mean, there's so much there. So we're going to just take baby steps, why it's so special, and how you are being asked to be a part of it. That's all coming up on the program today. First, though, I have a couple more thank yous. Thank you to Darcy Hauser and Aval Arido. They are our newest Good Friends GTR patrons using the Podbean program and supporting the show, keeping it going. They join Bauer Physics and Georgia Jenny, each receiving personal prayer from our family. Also a shout out on the show. And from now until Christmas, if you sign up to be a Podbean patron, you'll also receive a CD. It's called Pray With Me, a Catholic Treasury of Family Prayers, and it's just a thank you. And really, there's no minimum. You can donate $1 a show, $10 a month, whatever you feel called to. And it's just basically a thank you, a tip jar that keeps the show going and growing. And to do that, just go to podbean.com, search Good Things Radio, or you can sign up for our newsletter and receive updates that way. And of course, as always, I love your feedback. It's just feedback at goodthingsradio.com. And I was so grateful because in the last episode I whined. I'll just be honest that I didn't get any feedback in the last episode. So thank you for taking pity on me. I got some great emails. So I'll share some of those as well. Some really helpful input. We'll get to that. If you join me now, though, let's begin in prayer. And in my Roman Catholic tradition, we observe the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. It is to Our Lady carrying our petitions to her Son in a prayer that I would like to place for her today as we begin, that kind of theme as we start the show. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Most Holy Virgin Mary, appointed by God to be the help of Christians, we choose you as the mother and protectress of our homes. We ask you to favor us with your powerful protection, preserve our homes and our hearts, our families, from every danger. Bless, protect, defend us, keep us as your own, like you. Bless the people whom we love and obtain from them the most important graces of avoiding sin. Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our guest on the program today is someone whom I've known and admired for a number of years. I don't know how far back it's been, but she is the author of The Grace of Yes, O Radiant Dawn, and The Handbook for Catholic Moms, also a book of saints for Catholic moms, the Chime Traveler series for children, and I could go on and on. And I'm trying to remember how I first heard about our guest, and I think it was just as a blog reader. She is a pioneer, a trailblazer in the platform of blogging, and specifically the founder of CatholicMom.com, as well as someone who's now involved, an editor and more for Ave Maria Press, and joins us on the program today. It's Lisa Hendy. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Hi, Brooke. I'm so happy to be on with you.
Oh, I'm
treat.
I'm sorry. I know I probably did not do your bio justice, but I just kind of cherry picked.
No, that's awesome. And I was just sitting here thinking, you know, when people ask me for my bio, I tell them I'm a wife and a mom.
Yep, that's the best, right?
Husband who's very patient.
The most important.
With all this other stuff.
Well, you know, and also I would be remiss if I didn't mention about the retreat, that you are going to be part of the first ever Arise Good Things Radio Women's Retreat, which we're so thrilled about. It's coming up in March, 10th through the 13th. And could you just give us a little tease maybe about what you think you might be sharing with the ladies?
Well, I believe what we decided, Brooke, was that I was going to do something based on a talk that I give, which is on nurturing your heart, mind, body, and soul. And you can correct me if I'm wrong about that, but that's actually, I think it's a really important topic. So many women, we take time to take care of everyone except ourselves. You know, we're constantly feeding and clothing and caring for our loved ones, and yet we're running ourselves into quite a lot of exhaustion and sometimes spiritual exhaustion too. So I'm so thrilled to be a part of the retreat and to welcome the women there and, you know, just to give them some encouragement for their own faith journey. And if you haven't registered, you better hurry up because you don't want to miss out on being there with us.
Yes. And you can get all the details. The link is on our Facebook page, also in our newsletters, on our website, which is goodthingsradio.com. But you'll be there. Sarah Reinhart, obviously Jennifer Willits, Ben Walther, an amazing worship artist. Andrea Singarella, a beautiful artisan of Catholic jewelry. And then Father Nathan Cromley. So it's a full, and we've talked about it a lot on the program, but just excited to have you there. And also here today, we've got a lot to cover on the show, but I wanted to ask you kind of right out of the gate about a new movie that I know you had a chance to see. It's called The Letters. It's about Blessed Mother Teresa. And I just want to share a portion of the trailer with our listeners now. Take a listen.
Dear Father Van Exem, never in all my life did I know there was such suffering in the world as I have seen here.
Okay, Lisa, now you had the honor of screening the film, and what did you think? What's your review?
You know, I loved the movie. I am a devotee. I consider Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta a powerful prayer intercessor in my life, and I love her work and, you know, her ministry, and to see this movie was very, very moving for me and also very inspiring. And it's not in some cases an easy movie to watch. We see her struggles. And in that respect, I found it actually a very compelling, you know, look at not just the ways in which, you know, she was so powerful as a missionary and in serving people, but her own spiritual struggles and also the struggles that she went through to actually found her religious order and, you know, her persistence through both those kind of political struggles, but also her own spiritual struggles were very helpful to me.
Well, as you touch on that, and then in the trailer, Father Van Exem, in the clip we just heard, he talks about that dark night of the soul, that desolation that she went through. And I remember reading the book, Come Be My Light, which still is one of my favorites. And that is her letter and her writings, a lot of that in the book laid out. But I remember at the time, it was a controversy because people who weren't Christian or just kind of outside of the faith, they were making the claim that God abandoned her. And that wasn't the case. And theologically, and if you look at historically, you know, St. John of the Cross, the Dark Night of the Soul, and especially if you actually read the book, you see the beauty of her faithfulness and the purpose of that. And I'm just wondering if that came across in the film.
I believe it definitely did, and it was actually very true to her life, her work, and, you know, they have to actually, I mean, she was so prolific in her service to others, so it doesn't obviously go into everything, but it definitely gives you a very poignant and also a very hopeful look at, you know, how her life can be an inspiration for ours.
That's beautiful. So you think then, with that being said, it's a movie for everybody, all ages, all faiths?
Yes. I mean, I think obviously if you have little children, there are some areas of the movie, you know, where she's, you know, ministering in the slums, and there, it's nothing that's graphic in any way, but might be challenging for a small child to understand. But I think especially for teens and young adults, that this is the kind of movie that you want to go see and then maybe go out for coffee or a hot chocolate afterwards and just talk about it.
Perfect.
Because there's so much in her story that can inspire, especially young people who are so you know, I know I have young sons and, you know, they're young adults now. And, you know, they are all about making our world a better place. And she's a heroine when it comes to that. And we can look at her and just be so inspired that we can each do just little acts of love to follow up on the example that she set.
You know, I'm so glad that you said that, and especially that this movie is out when it is, because that's one of my pet peeves, as I know probably most, you know, moms share right now, is the role models that young women have are just kind of selling them short. I mean, we've got like Edith Stein and Blessed Mother Teresa and so many of these wonderful, amazing women that contributed so greatly, and they're just not hearing those stories. So to have a movie like this in the scale that it was released is pretty awesome. And to know that would affect your boys, that's pretty great too.
It is. And there are, and in terms of like teenage and young adult girls, there are some great young women who are portrayed in the movie who are kind of discerning their life. And I think they'll be very attractive to the girls, particularly who see this film.
That's great. We need that. Keep it coming, please, Hollywood. Also, and I guess kind of a natural segue for Mother Teresa to go into Mercy. I want to talk about that next, because the Jubilee Year of Mercy is here. It's upon us. And like the movie, I really think that the Declaration of Mercy and living a life of mercy is something that does speak to all people, because it's such a natural, and there's a lot there to unpack. I mean, in the idea of mercy and what Christ says about mercy in the church itself, and then in the next year. So could you just kind of please give us some baby steps as we get going?
I still want the baby steps to this, but we're getting ready for the Year of Mercy. And I don't know when we're airing this show, but it actually begins on December 8th. Which
yes.
Few days, as you and I are speaking, just a few days from now, the Immaculate Conception on Tuesday, when we celebrate that. And you know, the it's actually called the Bull of Benediction of the Extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy. That sounds so fancy, but
wow.
That Bull of Benediction, that the announcement of it came out in April, and we've been anticipating since then what this year would mean for us. And we know that the church celebrates Jubilee years, you know, on a semi-regular basis. This is actually an extraordinary Jubilee, not meant to kind of copy. The last one that we celebrated was in 2000, and that was at the behest of Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul II.
Right.
But this Tuesday, Pope Francis will open the holy doors in Rome, and will invite us to embark on this year. It's actually not a full year. It will complete on the Feast of Christ the King in 2016, which is actually in November.
Okay.
And it's just an invitation to look around the world with eyes that are full of love and kindness and generosity, and really to, for ourselves, encounter the mercy of God. And we see in our world so much brokenness, and this year is really an opportunity for us to seek reconciliation in our own lives, to seek healing, and then to beg God for healing in our world that's so greatly in need of peace.
So a starting point would be forgiveness, reconciliation. That's kind of right out of...
Okay. I mean, they kind of say there are three hallmarks to this Jubilee year. So the first hallmark is the hallmark of pilgrimage, that in some way we embark on our own pilgrimage. Many people will go to Rome this year, to the Vatican, you know, to go through the holy doors there. But every diocese is being encouraged. And I know in my diocese, there are 8 doors being open around the diocese. And a pilgrimage can even happen within your own diocese. It's a, you know, taking very little and setting out on a spiritual journey. So the pilgrimage to the holy door. So find out, Brooke, where there's a holy door near you. There's very likely one, you know, in your own community that you can pass through. And then the indulgence to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation and to receive a plenary indulgence this year for the Year of Mercy.
Now, for those that are listening that might be, you know, Lutheran or Baptist, and they're like, what is a holy door? Is that just any church door? What does that mean?
Well, no, I mean, it's typically the door of a cathedral or a shrine or a basilica. So a good starting point would be to kind of check with your diocesan office. And, you know, if you're someplace that has a cathedral, it's likely that the cathedral in your community is that's where the holy door will be. So I know in my in my community, my diocese is very geographically spread out. So our bishop has announced 8 doors that people can go through, and there'll be ceremonies to bless those doors. But you know, that's just a part of it. That really, the idea is that this is a year-long chance to kind of find forgiveness and healing in our own life, and then, you know, to encourage that in our relationships too.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Thank you so much. And I know later in the show, we're going to have a few more resources as well, but that is a great place to start. And I know we only have a few more minutes, so I don't want to depart with you without mentioning Advent, because first of all, your book, O Radiant Dawn, has been such a fixture of our home every year since it came out. So I want to thank you for that. But I want to ask you about specifically that book, but also your own Advent and what you're doing this year.
You know, my year is a little different. We're actually traveling this year for Christmas, and my husband and I kind of made an intentional decision this year because of some factors in our life that we were going to really scale back on our Christmas decorating. And as a result, I've kind of scaled back on some of my Advent, some of the decorating that I typically did. But I find myself redoubling my spiritual time. It's been really interesting to kind of, at the same time as there's very little of the kind of physical trappings around me of the season, I've spent more time than ever in the Word, in the liturgy of the Word specifically, contemplating the daily Gospels. But then also, I've been embarking on, in preparation for the Year of Mercy, that the 33 Days of Morning Glory, the total consecration, and that's been just a beautiful blessing. And then another very special thing for me this Advent is that part of the reason that I'm really scaling back is I'm fighting a book deadline for my next Time Travelers book.
And oh boy.
I'm actually writing a book about the Nativity. And so my little brother-sister twins will be time traveling to Bethlehem to be present at the Nativity. So I am just in the Gospels of Luke and Matthew specifically.
Well, you timed that out just right. That's
I know. It's kind of amazing the way it happened that the book won't be out for a while, but to be writing it right now is just, it's an amazing blessing to be, you know, really digging into, even though this is children's fiction, and we want it to be historically accurate to the time. So I'm looking at details and donkey pictures and, you know, what Mary and Joseph might have eaten during that time and things like that. It's really amazing.
Well, so. Lisa, for those that don't know your Chime Traveler series, I know this isn't the first. You have a few previous as well. Can you tell us about that?
This is actually book 5 that I'm
oh
writing
my goodness.
Now. People can go right now and find the first 2 books at Catholic bookstores and online. The Secret of the Shamrock is the first one, and it deals with the life of St. Patrick. So this is a story set in modern times where there's a brother and sister twin who they have the ability to travel in time to the lives of different Catholic saints. And so in that first book, we treat the life of St. Patrick. It's called The Secret of the Shamrock. And then book 2 is the sister who actually meets and learns from St. Kateri Tekakwitha. So those have been just a real blessing. So it's kind of half set in modern times dealing with issues like the sacraments, reconciliation and the Eucharist, but then also issues like bullying and body image and, you know, just things that kids face in day-to-day life.
Oh, we need that. Okay, that's fantastic. And do you have the privilege of going, and did you go to Ireland? I mean, when you researched these books. Okay.
The first book, I actually traveled even to Belfast, to the area of the country, Downpatrick, where they state that St. Patrick is buried in that area.
Yep.
Whether or not he actually is, I'm not sure, but did a lot of historical research on that. And then for St. Kateri's book, I actually went to upstate New York to the National Shrine of Kateri Tekakwitha, wandered in the woods where she spent her years as a young girl, bathed in the spring that she used to bathe in, and picked up sticks along the paths from the trees that were growing at the time she was there. It was a real blessing to do research.
Oh my goodness.
In that way.
Well, if you need an assistant, if you're going to write a book about St. Damien of Molokai, or I'm sure our listeners or myself.
My wish list, but we need people to go out and get these books so that I can keep writing.
Yes.
I'd love to do.
Okay.
St. Damien and St. Marianne are definitely high on my wish list. And the next 2, 3, and 4 deal with St. Francis and St. Clair of Assisi.
Oh, so. Wonderful. Well, let's get people plugged in then. How can we find you and get in touch with you?
Well, definitely come on over to CatholicMom.com, or you can find all my personal writing at LisaHendy.com, which is H-E-N-D-E-Y.
Thank you so much, Lisa. What a joy it was to connect. Finally, it's good to hear your voice.
Thanks,
after so long.
I can't wait to pray with you at the retreat, and I do look forward to meeting all the listeners there, too.
Likewise, we are counting the days, and we just wish you a blessed Christmas and Advent as well, Lisa. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brooke.
What you're listening to there is the official hymn of the Jubilee Year of Mercy, and it is beautiful. The lyrics are from Psalm 135, 136. It says, "Give thanks to the Father, for He is good. He created the world with wisdom. He leads His people throughout history. He pardons and welcomes His children." That's just one stanza. And I love how calm it is. I wish that I had that playing when I tried to diffuse a wrestling match with my kids, because so often that's when I needed to kick in. That's what I love about musicals. If life was a musical, things would just be so much better. But I love how we can make it that. And I love in an earlier episode, episode 33, I think it was, Father Nathan shared with us, Father Nathan Cromley, a tip that he goes to heaven 7 times a day, that he just mentally and spiritually lifts himself out of where he is and into the heart of Jesus. So that song, and we talked about the power of music, I think has the ability to do that as well. And some tips for you as we kind of elaborate on what Lisa shared with us and the Jubilee Year of Mercy. There's so much that we'll just over time share these in little crumbs and pieces. But just to get us started, some tips for the Year of Mercy. Emily Stimson, thumbs up on an awesome column she wrote in our Sunday Visitor. It's called Living the Year of Mercy, 9 Practical Suggestions to Help You Walk More Virtuously This Jubilee Year. So as you would imagine, she has these 9 tips laid out, but a few of them include something that Lisa shared, which was going on a pilgrimage. And that's what I love about our retreat, because so many already have it marked on the calendar of their soul that I'm going here on March 10th through the 13th, and I have a date, a pilgrimage, a journey, not only with the Lord, but with other women as well. But anywhere that you go in our area, there are a lot of local shrines, or if you feel called to something big like Ireland or Rome, this would be the year where there are special blessings that come with that. So that was one suggestion. She also has another thing that Lisa mentioned, forgiveness, reconciliation, and going to confession, focusing on scripture in which God's mercy is revealed. I love that too. We can all focus on the Bible more. We're still doing that Bible study, that Good Morning Girls, which I talked about in an earlier episode, and the book of Numbers. And that has been really deep and sometimes challenging, but really good. So anytime that we can go back to scripture, that's a good thing. Some key dates to be aware of in the Year of Mercy. On December 8th, of course, that's when it starts, the Year of Mercy, on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And then February 10th, is the Missionaries of Mercy. That's commissioned by Pope Francis. They will be sent out from St. Peter's Basilica across the world with the authority to forgive even the most serious sins. And this has been in the news because Pope Francis talked about abortion and how they will be able to forgive that, that sin. And these special groups that he has commissioned are going out as missionaries of mercy across the world. So that's pretty neat. But yet that we can also do that in our own lives, in our own homes. On March 4th and 5th, which, by the way, is just a few days before the retreat, during that Friday and Saturday, so the week before, that'll be the 4th week of Lent, the faithful across the world will be asked by Pope Francis to participate in 24 hours for the Lord, and that's when dioceses hold services offering the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And then July 26th through the 31st, that is World Youth Day. That'll take place in Krakow, Poland, and then, of course, it will end on November 20th. And as Lisa mentioned, that's the Feast of Christ the King. And that will mark the end of the Jubilee year. So there's some good tips there. And also, I want to mention an app. It's completely free to download, which is a good thing. It's called 365 Days of Mercy. And it's from our Sunday Visitor. And again, it's no cost. And it's a way to, in little ways, help walk through the Year of Mercy.
It's Brooks House. It's Brooks House.
Yeah, it's Brooks House. That's a new feature on the program. And it's just opening the door to have you come on in and tell you what's going on. But be careful, because you might trip on a Lego or step on a toy. We don't want that. So come on in. It's open for you. And we've got a birthday party going on. I want to say happy birthday to my husband, Jim. He just turned 40. And I love this guy, my best friend. Our marriage, we just celebrated 15 years this summer. And I was trying to think of a little snippet of Jim to tell you about. But then something happened that I thought, oh, this is such a beautiful God gift moment that I wanted to share with you, that just kind of sums him up. It happened over the weekend. And the timing of it was really interesting too, because I was just having a conversation with a girlfriend about how we could pray for our husbands. And every now and then I fall into this trap of holy husband envy. And I think I've talked about this before, where you kind of, I mean, I have in, you know, the circle of friends, I happen to know a lot of amazingly, I would say extraordinarily holy guys, and guys that just like read Latin for fun, like read Latin books for fun, or, you know, are really good at making sure the family goes to confession once a week or something. And all of those are good. And we all have different gifts, because, of course, women can compare, you know, ourselves to others as well, just as women can compare husbands and the whole thing. But what the Lord revealed to me the very next day was such a powerful emotional truth. And here's what happened. So I'll kind of back up a little bit, because a few years ago, my husband started doing work with the church just when they needed it, like IT help, or if they needed help setting up events. And so a couple months ago, our deacon called and said, you know what, we're really short on our janitor staff. The guys are really burnt out. Would you be willing every now and then to pitch out? And Jim was like, yeah, no problem. I mean, despite how busy Jim is, that's just kind of the guy he is. If somebody needs help, he's there. So they had it arranged that on the weekends, he would help clean the bathrooms, because on any given weekend at our church, we have 4,000 people that come and go. And evidently, the bathroom world is a completely different world that goes on than what most people realize, although I'm not surprised, because my husband was kind of getting the tour of, here's where the cleaning rags are, this is how we clean, et cetera, the whole procedure. And he said the stories that he heard were like, he was getting shell-shocked. But I know, having boys myself, that nothing surprises me. And I was telling my kids this, and my son, my oldest, was like, yeah, Mom, when I was in second grade, we had like this distance contest. And I'm not even going to go into the details, but I'm like, what? So, and then another son was chiming in and saying something. And so it just gave me a new appreciation for those that clean bathrooms. And I know whenever we run into a janitor, or, you know, you're in a gas station bathroom, you stop and you're thinking, wow, Lord, thank you for this clean bathroom, or that whoever does this. But to have my husband doing that now really brings it to life in a new way. So the bottom line is that on the weekends, he will start doing this now whenever they need help. So that happened to be this weekend. So he's like, I'm going to go in at 5 a.m. I will meet you guys at Mass. If you could get all the kids up and ready, I will just kind of sneak in and join you and then go back and clean. I said, okay, that's fine. So here he is in his janitor gear, and we are all dressed up for Mass, and he slips in. And of all the weekends, this never happens. This has not happened to our family in like 4 years. But this weekend, this Sunday, we were given the little slip of paper that says, you've been chosen to carry out the gifts. And what that means is that after the offering in our church, they bring up the gifts for consecration, the wine and the basket and the hosts. And so a family gets to go and process up the aisle in front of all the church and go and bring the gifts up. And here is my husband in his janitor outfit and smelling like bathroom cleaner. And all of us are dressed up. And he's like, can I just not go? And it just made me cry, because first of all, my husband is so not vain at all, you know, and so I completely understand why he's going, I don't want to go up there. But to me, it just demonstrated how much he is like Joseph, and how much he has dedicated his life to sacrifice out in the vineyard, toiling in the field for his faith and for his family and for his country, quite frankly, as a veteran. And I'm sitting in church looking nice and praying. And I felt like that in that moment was such an answer to prayer of opening my eyes to see the truth. And we are all dressed up as he has calloused hands and smells like bathroom cleaner, bringing the gifts up in The Offering. So I just was trying not to cry. And I'm thinking, nobody else that's looking at us knows what is going on. Like, why is this guy dressed so differently? And most people don't even know that Jim does that he helps out. But that's just who he is. So I think whether we are the dad, the husband, the man that we know in our life is a theologian, or whether they're just quietly the contemplative monk, or whether they're the hardworking guy, the farmer in the field, each one has the ability to teach us through their faith. We all do as we encounter others and as we talk about the year of mercy. So I just want to thank my husband for the man he is, the way he inspires me as a wife, as a mother, and as a woman, and to wish him a happy birthday and a beautiful 40th birthday, because he does not look one day over 31, except for his hands, because he never puts lotion on his hands because he thinks men should not wear lotion and it's girly. But that's another story for another time. I love you, my husband, my dearest, precious Jim. Happy birthday.
It's Brooks House.
As we wrap up the show today, I just want to offer some sacred sanity savers as you walk through the week. And this is from Creighton University. They have such a great resource of prayers and different things on there. But this is a prayer as you get going and you try to focus on the calm through the chaos, and some practical ways to do that. Each morning this week, if even for that brief moment at the side of your bed, we want to light a second inner candle, we want to let it represent a bit more hope. Perhaps we can pause, breathe deeply, and say, Lord, I place my trust in you. Each day this week, as we encounter times that we're rushed, even crazy, we can take that deep breath and make that profound prayer. Each time we face some darkness, some experience of parched land or desert, some place where we feel defeated or trapped, we hear the words, our God will come to save us. Amen. The grace we desire for this week is to be able to hear the promise and to invite our God to come into those real places of our lives that dearly, desperately need God's coming. We want to be able to say, Lord, I place my trust in your promise. Please, Lord, rouse your power and come into this place in my life, this relationship, into this deep self-defeating pattern. Please come here and save me. Each night this week, we can look back over the day and give thanks for the moments of deep breath that opened a space for more trust and confidence in God's fidelity to us. No matter how difficult the challenges that we're facing, from the growing realization of our personal sinfulness to any experience of emptiness or powerlessness, even in the face of death itself, we can give thanks for the two candles that faithfully push back the darkness. And we can give thanks for the graces given in the belief that our God will come to save us. We just have to ask boldly. So that's a beautiful prayer reminder. Before we end the show, I don't want to forget the feedback. I mentioned that we had a couple emails, and so I don't want to leave without mentioning those. I'm trying to pull it up here on my phone. You can always reach us again at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Okay, so first of all, we have an email from Lisa, and she said, hi, Brooke, I wanted to suggest a few movies for family time. They're older, but my kids have enjoyed them. They are now 21, almost 22, and 24, but they still enjoy these movies during the holidays. They have some great messages. They can be a little cheesy, but honestly, we love them. The Bells of St. Mary's is the first one. It stars Ingrid Bergman and Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby sings Adeste Fidelis at one point, and it's wonderful. You can find it on Amazon Prime and watch it instantly. Great message for Christmas. The downside for the kids is in its black and white. Lisa, I think that's the upside. And I always tell my kids that. I know this is a tough sell. But, you know, the black and white, I feel like, takes us into a simpler time. The kids don't see it that way. But we used to get into a phase of The Rifleman. I don't know if you remember, Chuck Connors starred in this series. And when the kids were little, I feel like the earlier you expose kids to black and white, the more receptive they'll be to it. My oldest now, he's completely over it. If it's in black and white, that's his rule. He's just not going to watch it. But for years, I was able to get away with it. So that would be my tip, is that if you can start them early, just do it. Go for it. Okay. And then she says, the second is Cheaper by the Dozen for from 1950, starring Clifton Webb in Myrna Loy. This is truly different than the Steve Martin version, and it also has the same wonderful message and is based on a true story. It brings in the value of hard work and love of family. You can find this one on Netflix Instant Streaming. Nice. Thank you so much, Lisa. I agree. Those classics are the best. So two from Lisa. Barbara has an email. She says, I love the show on Advent. I also want to tell you that I'm struggling still with my phone addiction. I deleted Facebook from my phone, so now I only check it in the evenings, and it has really helped a lot. Thank you, Barbara. I think those little things, like just taking the app off, is actually one of the best things that you can do because it's out of sight, out of mind type thing. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Barb. And then finally, Christina, she said, I want to let you know that I recently acquired many of my grandmother's books. She was a Third Order Franciscan, and I'm discovering what that means and so much about her faith. She passed away just months after my mom would have turned, she would have turned 99. Anyway, one of the books I cracked open, I've been meaning to talk to you about. It sounds just like what Father Nathan talked about. It's called Recollection of the Soul in Action. I was a little confused when I began reading, so I Googled it and found some information. I emailed it to myself. Okay, and then she sent the email. She said it's pretty deep. Okay, but, you know, I'm wondering, you know, recollection also is a term that's used in Opus Dei. I wonder if there's any correlation there, so I'll have to check it out. But thank you so much, Christina. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the program today. And thank you to my guest, Lisa Hendy, who joined us on the program. You can also, again, find her website at catholicmom.com. I feel bad because there's so much that I want to talk about that sometimes it just isn't enough time. And I don't want to make this podcast an hour long. I'm trying to be sensitive. There's like a sweet spot. So depending on how things unfold over the next few weeks, I might be sprinkling in some bonus because there's podcasts. There's so many topics from raising kids and some of the challenges with the teenage years, like my son. He was diagnosed with ADD and you've got the medication question. I would love to unpack those topics. What about radical Islam? I was recently in the mall, and I went to the big city mall, which is unusual. And if you've listened to the show for any number of episodes, you know that I kind of left my job and to be a stay-home mom. And so I'm often either driving kids or I'm in the house and I don't go out that much. So this mall is a big city mall, and I was there, and there were two Muslim women that were completely covered in burqas where you couldn't even see the slit for the eyes. But I know it must have been like one of those screens in black, and in the center was a man. But they were both carrying big backpacks, and I felt really nervous. And this is a day after the San Bernardino shooting, so I really had to stop and examine my conscience. Am I racially profiling? Now, if you look at the story of what happened in San Bernardino, the neighbor saw some suspicious activity but didn't report it because they were afraid. They didn't want to be perceived as being hurtful or judgmental or prejudiced or racist. Not racist, but in order of racial profiling. So my question is, to me, this looks suspicious. But I am so used to the little bubble that I live in, and I'm not used to seeing completely covered women in burqas anyway. And so I, as a woman and as a mom and as a Christian, am just trying to kind of sort through all of these issues in a godly way. What would God do? What would Jesus do? What should we do? What are we called to do? So that's the question, in different topics maybe that we could spin off on a different time, from different things about hair and makeup to cultural issues. But for now, I just thank you for joining me for this program in the year of mercy, right? Because at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to, God's mercy. He's so good to us. He's so forgiving. How can we not extend that to others as well? Thank you so much for being part of Good Things Radio. If you want Good Things Radio to continue, please consider becoming a GTR Good Friend, and I'll post that information on the next newsletter. And I think we're about due for a newsletter, so watch in your inbox. They should be coming in soon, one newsletter. that's all I can manage right now. Also, the Podbean app is a way to find us. You can go to the website, and it's goodthingsradio.com. Also, as always, we appreciate your review. If you have a minute, if you could go to iTunes and leave us a review, it'd be very grateful. Feedback at goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach us, and also Voxer. Thank you to Vanessa, a couple of our listeners who've connected on Voxer. Brooke Taylor, one, the number one is how you can find me. It's been a delight to be able to correspond that way, so thank you for that. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios, and thank you to you for being part of Good Things Radio and being a part of the GTR family. This is episode 34. God bless you. Happy Year of Mercy and Happy Advent. Until next time, friends, God bless you.
This episode of Good Things Radio was produced by Mark Cumming at Cumming Home Studio, your solution for all audio and video needs. www.cumminghomestudio.com.